Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, we welcome back pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law School poll. Charles, it's the last one before the election. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Charles.
I'm holding up.
I always get a little giddy when you come around, Charles, especially when we're this close to the game time, less than a week in a wake-up. Charles, top line, final poll. Who's winning? Let's start with the governor's race. Charles, who's in the lead?
It's a toss-up. It's dead tied, 48 to 48. This is a race that's been pretty steadily tightening. In August, Evers had a four-point lead, then a three-point, then a one-point, and now a dead tie. This is eerily reminiscent of 4 years ago when Scott Walker had a small lead that tightened and tightened. And in our last poll in that year, it was dead tied and went on to be a 1.1 point victory for Evers. So Tony Evers has been here before.
Charles Franklin, the other race that everyone in Wisconsin's watching, of course, the U.S. senatorial race, incumbent Ron Johnson. He's been there 12 years. He promised he'd go home, but here he is. He's running again. And Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee, he came out of the primary seemingly with the lead, at least in the polling. And I understood it, Charles. He was down like 6 in the polling to Johnson like a month ago, last we spoke. Yeah. Where are we at today in the U.S. senatorial race?
It's a 2-point race. Johnson ahead by 250 to 48. But remember, the poll has almost a 5-point margin of error. So that, too, is very much inside the margin. Whereas the governor's race has been really consistent, even as it tightened a little bit. In the Senate race, Barnes got a big bump out of the primary and was up by 7 in August, right after the primary. Then Johnson tied it up, was ahead by just 1 point in early September, then picked up that 6-point lead 3 weeks ago, only to now see it tighten again to a 2-point margin. So close race, not quite as close as the governor's race, but a lot more uncertainty about the Senate race just because it's moved around so much compared to the governor's race where it's been so stable.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School polling. All right, Charles, for the stats geeks here, likely voters versus registered voters. What's more important? Why do you move that around? Why do you poll both? And what are we looking at?
Sure. Well, first of all, we start off with a sample of all registered voters, people who tell us that they are registered, and people who say they're not yet registered, but they do plan to register by Election Day because, of course, we have Election Day registration. So we want to catch those new voters that may show up with their information on Election Day. Then we ask, okay, out of that sample, who is it that's actually most likely to vote? And we have a question, just what are the chances you'll vote in the election? Are you absolutely certain to vote? Are you likely to vote? Is the 50-50 or is there a chance you won't vote? And we use the people who say they're absolutely certain to vote, or they say they've already voted with early voting. And that's what we call likely voters. And that group of folks is much more engaged politically, much more aware of the candidates compared to those who are any of the categories that are less likely to vote for that. There's a big drop off in political attention and in enthusiasm once you move out of this certain to vote or likely voter category. For a benchmark, in 2018, 4 years ago, the last midterm, we had 82% who told us they were certain they were going to vote, our likely voters. The actual turnout was 82.2% registered voters. Now, that's luck. We won't expect to be quite that close this time. We're at 80% now, so just a smidgen lower than where we were 4 years ago. Remember, 2018 set a record. I think we could reach 2018 levels or possibly push past it, but at the moment, our respondents are just a smidgen less committed to voting.
Charles, I got to duck in here for just a moment. Persuadable voters, is there a way to measure that metric? Are they persuadable, or is it they're just uncertain whether or not they're going to actually show up and vote that day?
I think deciding to vote can be a more dynamic thing late in the campaign. Every campaign that thinks this race is as close as I think it is going to be pulling out all the stops to get people. But especially for people who are kind of on the fence, an awful lot depends on whether your friend says, hey, let's go vote together, or whether your friend says, hey, let's go out and get a beer tonight. One of those produces a vote at the polls that might not have gone there. The other way, you lose a vote that could have shown up. So, you know, the obvious solution is go vote and then get a beer after you've voted. but that's where in a race this close, so much could matter. We don't see very many people who are having a huge problem making up their minds between the candidates. And we're seeing almost no crossover voting from one party to the other. But the independents are a little harder to predict. They're a little less fixed in their preferences, and they're a little more susceptible to making late decisions about whether to vote or not.
Charles, obviously the 2016 election missed a lot of the new voters for Donald Trump. Is there any handicapping, weighing? How do you address the potential new, younger female voters that might, you know, have not registered or will register, that are engaged but not quite there yet? Is there any way to account for that?
Well, we try, but there's no surefire way to do it. First thing we do is we allow people to tell us they're not registered, but promise they are going to get registered. So there's a way that we're sort of automatically capturing those people who may be getting engaged for the first time and will register by Election Day. The second thing is, while we know that younger voters turn out at lower rates than older voters, we also see variation from election to election. So 2018 didn't just set a record for overall turnout. It set a record for turnout among young voters as well, blowing past the previous highs for young voters. So, you know, that could happen again this time. But we at this point are still kind of hard pressed to know what ultimately turnout will be, especially with individual groups of voters.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got the finest of pollsters. He is Charles Franklin from the Gold Standard Marquette University Law School poll here in the state of Wisconsin, the last one before the midterms. And Charles, I found an interesting set of questions. You asked not just about people's confidence in prior elections and the outcomes. Obviously, we know about the stop the steal and the rigging and the big lie and all that kind of stuff, but also their confidence in the future tense election, the midterms about to happen. And there is a party out there that's not confident that the next election's not already rigged. I guess let them see whether or not their candidates won. Right, Charles?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I'll tell you a good news, bad news story. The good news is the electorate as a whole is more confident that the election will be accurate this time compared to people looking back at 2020. Now, it's important to stress, two-thirds of the public think 2020 they're confident in the 2020 election, but that goes up to 75% looking ahead to this time. Republicans are a lot more doubtful. That's not news to anybody. but roughly two-thirds of Republicans have doubts about 2020. But that drops among Republicans to just about 30%, 33%. So instead of two-thirds, it's one-third of Republicans not confident about this upcoming election. Much more confidence among Dems and independents. Now, the question will be, of course, whoever loses, how do they react to that? Because so much of 2020 clearly is because of Donald Trump's claims about election fraud and claims among other party members about that. If we see this election get settled, then I think that helps move us along. And we're not seeing all elections being poisoned by this. Rather, it's something more specific to 2020. On the other hand, if this one produces refusals to concede by either party and claims of fraud, then I think we further compound the damage that's been done by the 2020 rhetoric.
Charles, I always like to ask, what's the worst that could happen? But hold that thought. I do like the questions you asked about, is it likely that Donald Trump had top secret documents, classified documents at Mar-a-Lago? And a majority of people said yes, including, you know, some Republicans. And also you asked about taking responsibility for the January 6th. Charles, speak to those two polled questions, please. Yeah.
On the January 6th hearings, we see that people have paid a fair bit of attention to those hearings, but it hasn't changed people's opinions much at all. So over the course of the summer and the fall, almost half say Donald Trump bears a lot of responsibility for the violence on January 6th, but almost a third, 32%, say he bears no responsibility at all. And there's, of course, not surprisingly, a big partisan gap on that question. On this purely factual question of did Trump have secret documents, 55% say he did, but a quarter, 27%, say he didn't. And then there's a fair chunk that say don't know. When we hear, when people are asked this question, we will hear people refer to Trump's argument that he declassified documents, and that's the reason they're saying no to this question. But it's also clear that a lot of people simply don't want to grapple with it. 21% of Republicans say they don't know if he had secret documents or not.
Charles Franklin, 99% of our listeners looking forward to the end of the political ads and the text messages, but we'll have you back soon, sir. Thank you very much, Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, our good friend from the Marquette University Law School poll.
Thank you, Charles.
Thanks always. Take care.
Lordy, I hope the data you have is wrong.
Sorry to crush your hopes and dreams.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, always a fine one. Always get a little giddy when the last Marquette University Law School poll drops. And Charles Franklin comes around, a generous soul. Appreciate it, Charles. Dom, I have a prediction for the outcome. Tuesday night.
Pain.
Well, that is, well, pain is in the prediction, perhaps. But I predict it's coming down to Milwaukee County absentee ballots about 2 in the morning and then an eventual recount. Recount. 3.0, what are we up to? Like,
well, I mean, that's the recount.
We had the Jill Stein recount. We had the Donald Trump recount.
I want to know Crudy's prediction, man. Who's going to win?
I don't want to depress the electorate. I'm a little nervous the Democrats have failed to capitalize on this golden opportunity to defeat Ron Johnson. And above and beyond that, although I hear there's some internal polling out there that would seem to give the Evers team some confidence, I'm less confident. It's going to come down to whether or not each team gets out theirs. And right now, the weather's glorious. If it's like this next Tuesday, go Blue Wave. But if it's a little cold and windy and wet, I mean, what is the 7-day outlook, Dom? next Tuesday.
Well, Crudy, I'll have to pull it up. And,
Tuesday,
and
here in Madison.
Next Tuesday, well, I'm in Milwaukee. Next Tuesday in Milwaukee, 56 degrees, partly cloudy. Looks like a fine, mild day.
I got mostly sunny and 60 here in Madison. So if the weather stays fair in these two very Democratic communities, well, it could be a blue wave. But if we get, you know, one more Packer defeat and somehow Detroit rises from the ashes like the Phoenix to defeat the Green Bay Packers.
Hear the roar, baby.
That could actually be disastrous for the incumbent governor. I've always said that. A Packer losing streak, and this state is on the wrong track, baby. So I'm a little, I just think everyone needs to vote. And I think we all need to run through the finish line. And it doesn't matter what my opinion is, because it's often wrong on these things. Other than the fact Bernie was the guy in the state of Wisconsin, I sense that from being here. And there were some other states where we spent enough time on the ground and talked to enough people, you could get a sense, like during the 16 primary, that Bernie had momentum in Indiana and different states. Mm-hmm. That part, you know, we could get a sense of. And I've talked to as many people around the state as I can. I would say two things encouraging me on behalf of the Dems. Earl, our buddy Earl, the Earl Ingram Show, in Milwaukee, WAUK, 540 AM, weekdays, 8 to 11. What Earl tell us at the Obama rally? He told us that the get out the vote effort in Milwaukee has not been like this since like 2012, since like Obama won his reelection campaign. The ground game, the Democratic ground game, has been spectacular, according to our buddy Earl Ingram, in Milwaukee specifically. Well, Mandela Barnes, we see lots of articles saying if Mandela wants to win, black voters need to turn out in Milwaukee. And the problem is they often don't. For the midterms, hell, even in the presidential years, they don't often turn out in Milwaukee, not in the same number they would, you know, in, let's say, Dane County, where we vote blue, like our lives depend on it, because some feel like it does. You know, if you're a woman of reproductive age, this is a really big elective cycle. But Dom, I just can't understand why people are so nonchalant about democracy. Like, oh man, gas prices. So, you know, let's throw in with the fascist again. See how that works out for us.
I think to some degree that is, you know, reflective of the, you know, not digging deep enough into the issues, not being engaged enough in the politics, man. You know, a lot of people, you know, we live, eat, breathe, and crap this stuff out. A lot of people don't tune in, find it repulsive in some degree, you know, all the ads, and it's hard not to blame them for at least that part of it. But, you know, it's the part-time voters, you know, or those that aren't really engaged that I think are going to be the bellwether here. If we looked at the 2018 young turnout was up like, what, 40%? I mean, it went from like
20% to 36% in the under 18 to 29 demographic, I believe.
And if we get close to that or see that trend continue,
I told
that bodes very well for the Democrats.
Kristen from Blue Skies Waukesha, I told her today she's up driving campuses, trying to get out to vote on campus. I said, sister, you get us 40% on campus, it's going to be a blue wave. If the young people voted, you know, representative to their demographics, if 40% of them turn out, it's a blue wave. And there's no way, no offense to Charles Franklin, there is no way his 800 voter sample with 4.9%, you know, margin of errors.
4.6.
4.8. He said 5.
Unlikely voters.
He said 5. Yeah,
It's high. That's a big number. It's a big swing, no doubt. And as we know, and after all of this, you know, and I love Charles. We've had Charles on a lot over the last 6 months, man. And here we go. Coin flip. I mean, he could have told you that 6 months ago.
The problem is you're going to flip that coin. It's going to land on its edge. And then, of course, they're all going to claim it's rigged and, you know, recount. And I worry about that happening.
Well, it's going to happen. So, I mean, don't worry about it. It's going to happen. I mean, political violence has already happened. The good news is all these things, a lot of things have already happened. So, you know, you can get a little more callous to it when it does happen. Hey, well, of course, I'm expecting this because that's what the GOP, that's what the MAGA did before. The question is, you know, will there be pushback? Will there be enough people to stand up and say, you know, I don't want Tim Michaels telling me that I can't have an abortion. I don't want, you know, abortion between me, my doctor, and my local political leaders. I mean, this is asinine, people.
Do you see the state GOP sending out flyers? Kind of creepy, stalkerish flyers. Your neighbors are watching you. We'll tell you about it when we come back. But, you know, they're trying to creep you out a little bit. Scare you.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
That's Tom. See, you sing. Right there, you're singing on the radio.
Yeah, how'd it sound?
I'll give it a B.
Yeah, thumbs up. Thank you, Evan. You rock.
See, same as I gave to Mary Burke coming off her DPW speech in 14. Yeah. Solid B minus.
Solid B. I'll take a 3.
You done messed up, Aaron!
A little tick.
Tell my quarterback, you gotta get some back. Mm-hmm.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates. Yes, I
got. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the hump day. Happier, happy hour. I'd be happier if it were Friday afternoon or the day after the election, the hump day after the election. Right. Hopefully a glorious victory party somewhere, Dom. The President of the United States is addressing the nation at 6 p.m. And this is quite a late announcement, but we will broadcast it live, at least here on the flagship, on Devil Radio. So if you have the Civic Media app, you can listen to it here. And then out markets, I guess we'll probably stay with the Native Roots Radio, our friend Robert Pilot. But I think it's worthy of your consideration, the president speaking on democracy and the impact of, you know, throwing democracy overboard. Like, it's no big deal. Like, what Tim Michaels, the gubernatorial candidate here in the state of Wisconsin, what did he say yesterday? Wasn't it something to the effect that, you know, elect me and Republicans will win every election here forward in the state of Wisconsin?
Republicans will never lose another election in the state of Wisconsin, yes.
Is that implying that, you know, he already knows the outcome of 2024 should Trump run?
Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor.
Let's just run that one every day. That little fascist remark from Tim Michaels. Let's make sure we run that all the way through election day, boys.
No, I mean, it is, I would say, and his campaign has said, well, he's going to, you know, be such a great governor that no one would ever want to vote any other way again. Now, I haven't heard the whole context of what he said. And I think to make proper judgment, I should. But knowing, you know, Tim Michaels and seeing him speak a few times and understanding the mega mindset and knowing that he, you know, backs Trump, knowing that he's an election denier, knowing that he will not necessarily concede the election if he loses, how else could I possibly interpret that statement?
Well, you asked me for a prediction, Dom. I have one Hail Mary. Donald Trump's coming back to Wisconsin between now and Election Day. And
I don't believe it.
I have zero insights. I'm not part of the Republican caucus. I just think the temptation when he sees the closeness of the polling, if he comes to Wisconsin, he's going to claim victory if either of these candidates win, right?
You know, if Trump was going to, he wants to go somewhere where there's his client, his candidate that he picked is up by 6. I'm not clear that Trump has the fortitude to step into something like this where it's a coin flip, because he has a 50% chance of losing. Odds that Donald Trump is down with.
Well, if he stays away, then there's always the regret, you know, if only Trump had come here. I think Donald Trump's coming to Wisconsin. I only say that from the pit of my stomach somewhere. I just have this uneasy feeling he's coming back between now and Election Day, Dom. That's my prediction. We're going to play President Joe Biden's speech at 6 live here in Madison on WTTN. Elsewhere, we'll stay with regular programming, but you can hear the president here. If you don't have the Civic Media app, you're not a patriot.
It's easy.
The Patriots.
Go to the App Store. Civic Media. You can listen to all the stations anytime. It's super cool.
Dom, we're going to tell the audience. We'll tell you all about, you know, Republicans saying your neighbors are spying on you, whether or not you're voting. We'll tell you all about that in a moment. This is their closing argument but perhaps you could make yours at 844-967-2789. Joe from Madison. Welcome back, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hi, Joe.
I just want to remind people that last week the report that came out from WKOW-TV, the investigative report they did, said that Republican Ron Johnson has not paid state income tax since 2016. That's 6 years, people. Did you pay tax during that time? I did. Ron paid zero. Zip. Nothing. Nada. Butt kiss. I pay taxes.
Joe, the suckers pay taxes.
Joe, but I want to be very clear. I mean, my understanding, Joe, is that because, of course, you know, he works, he gets paid, and I'm assuming, you know, the state taxes are automatically withdrawn out of his salary from his work at the U.S.
Why would you make that assumption? It says the article said he effectively switched the family trust.
That's what I'm saying. The family trust is specifically what we're talking about. I mean, when you say he pays no income taxes in the state of Wisconsin, I think that's a false statement. I think based on his income that he gets, it's automatically deducted out of his paycheck from the government for his services, quote unquote, as a U.S.
But
senator.
As a self-employed
specifically
guy.
The trust absolutely did not pay taxes.
Joe, I don't think Dom has any way of knowing that with any veracity, and I would say if the trust claims a substantial enough loss through the manufacturer and agricultural tax credit, he could offset $184,000 and the resulting 7.5% state taxes thereof. I think he could get around paying even that roughly 12,
that is entirely it may be possible, but that is not what the article and the reporting has been about his personal income tax.
Yeah, but they're making millions. It's not about the about the salary, Joe. It's about the millions they're not paying taxes on, right?
Well, it's the deal is that the little people pay and the big people don't. People get the lawyers, they get the loopholes, they get their ways to get out of paying taxes, and the result is that people like you and me pay the taxes, we pay for the roads and rural broadband and education while he skates away with $44 million, and we're supposed to just accept it and go, hey, lucky you, Ron. No, he could at least pay something. There's not even $1,000 in there, $500, zero, 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 zero for 6 years running. It's sick. It's
Joe,
wrong, and this is not the person who should represent us. It's sick.
Joe, he told you he only doubled his net worth. By all rights, he should have tripled or quadrupled his net worth.
The poor man. And that this is what we're at, that we're going after, the guy who has paid no... I mean, it's zero, zero, zero. And you can talk about the loopholes and how he did this and how he did that. The net result is he pays no taxes, we pay taxes. And it's sick and it's wrong. And that he gleefully talks about it is just even worse. And he's making himself into a situation where we're supposed to be regarding this guy who skates away as, isn't he smart? Isn't he wonderful? The guy who skates away leaves us with the check. Okay?
Joe, you make an excellent point. But I would suggest you transition your family trust into a manufacturing interest. And then when you buy your three private airplanes, transfer those into the family trust because those are also a federal tax dodge. You know, you got to play it on both the state and federal side. The manufacturing credit, that blows up Bucky's dollars here. That blows up the tax dollars here in the state of Wisconsin. But the tax breaks for the three private planes, the Johnson family daughters, you know, that they've apparently bought with the grandiose wealth of the family. Well, that's a federal tax break. See, it's all different. Just do that yourself, Joe. Just follow his shrewd example.
He's taking advantage of the very same tax laws that you and I can take advantage of, Joe. Should we have the money to do
it? If you're not buying yourself at least a couple of family jets right now,
Yeah, I mean,
you
got to get a new tax attorney, Joe. If you haven't bought your three jets using the way that Ron Johnson did it, I think he's at least, if nothing else, showing us the way, Joe.
844-967-2789. You know, I pay a lot of money for advice like Ron gets, only on a much smaller scale. Dick from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Well, Charles Franklin's saying about January 6th, basically no traction from that for the Democrats. This horrible thing that happened last weekend with Pelosi, they make fun of it, and it's a joke. And then you got this governor candidate, Michelson, to just flat out telling you that there won't be another Democrat if I get elected. I mean, they're telling you where they're at, and I just don't understand people that don't want to come out in masses and put an end to this. I mean, what does it take? Kurt, you were talking about
nice weather.
The weather's good.
Nice weather. And right. Nice weather. Yeah, and maybe a Packer victory over Detroit this weekend, and we might have a fighting chance, Dick.
Does that show you how shallow the electorate really is?
Yes, absolutely, Dick. But that's what we're trying to get in there, man. We're trying to weasel our way in between their ears and get to them, Dick. But yes, that's absolutely the case.
It's just I'm just blown away by it. With everything that we've had happen in the last year, you would think this would be a total blowout.
My fear, if it is a blowout, Dick, it's going the other direction. 844-967-2789. Robert from West Dallas, you're next, sir. Welcome.
Hi, Robert.
Good evening, guys. Yeah, I think a lot of this stuff is summed up in a quote Maya Angelou has, and basically it says, when someone shows you who they are, believe them, right? They know themselves better than you. To think them to do something else is kind of crazy. And that's how we need to look at this, whether it's election deniers, seditionists, domestic terrorists. You know, these politicians, whether it be Michaels or Johnson or Rodriguez, whoever it is, they're telling us very clearly what they believe in. I mean, he came out, Johnson did, and said, I'm going to cut your Social Security. I'm going to raise your age group. So, you know, yes, we need to get young people out. We need to get people out in the cities, people out in the suburbs. But we also need some of these people to use their head for something more than a hat rack. And the guy's point blank telling you he's going to cut your Social Security, hopefully these folks would put two and two together. They mean it. They're going to do it, just like they're going to take your rights away in several other areas. So,
Robert, you know,
I people wake up.
I hear what you're saying, and I have some friends who kind of poo-pooed that. Oh, you know, they've been telling me they're going to take away the Social Security forever, and oh, what does it matter to me? I'm going to work the rest of my life anyway. Like, they hear it, but it doesn't quite register. That it doesn't quite it's like they know it, they hear it, but, you know, they kind of just downplay it anyway, Robert.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at Roe, right? They said for 40 years they're going to take it away. Oh, that'll never happen. Okay, here it is. Now they want to do Griswold and take away birth control between a husband and wife inside of a marriage. And they even want to revisit interracial marriage. So, I mean, that's where we're at, folks. Hopefully we'll wake up and get activated.
Well, I don't think under Clarence Thomas that that's going to be revisited, Robert, but you never know. He might be a true, true mega. I mean, if Clarence Thomas comes out against interracial marriage, you got to wonder what's going on in that marriage.
I don't even want to go there. I just had this image just for a moment, and I'm like, no! 844-967-2789. Bill's on parade. Oconomowoc, Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Good. Can you hear me okay, or is the signal breaking up?
A little bit, but try talking quick. Okay. That always helps.
Okay, I'm going to pull over. I'll make it real quick. I'll tell you what's going to happen. If the Republicans win, they'll go immediately to impeaching Biden. If the Democrats win, the Republicans will immediately go into, let's recount the votes. They've stolen another election. No matter who wins, it's not going to be pretty. But the bottom line is the Democrats really have to have a lot of blame on this. They have been handed so many elections that, my God, I think a fifth grader could win. But it's their messaging. It's their lateness. They're always late to the party. This should be an easy election for us to win in Wisconsin. It never has and never will be unless we get some new blood. Those are my thoughts. Have a great day, guys, and thanks for your good.
Thank you, Bill. Not a great signal, Bill, I'll admit. Mandela, pretty new blood, a 35-year-old senatorial candidate. I think he is part of the youth movement in politics. Now, if he's swept in, if he's our first African-American U.S. senator from the state of Wisconsin, it's going to be a much celebrated thing. But if Ron Johnson sort of righty-whitey talk radios his way to a third electoral term, I think it's pretty clear how they're winning. One team's putting all their resources on the radio, and I don't hear or see the other team. And I cheer for the other team, but it's hard to help them if they don't come and ask our audience for their votes. That's what I'd like to see. I want Tony Evers on the air right now. 844-967-2789. Governor Evers, come ask the audience for their vote. That would go a long ways. I had someone point out to me there is a Republican in one of the outstate districts. Very effective closing message. And effectively, he's just going out there and asking people to vote for him. Hey, I care about my town. I care about this city. I care about you. And I want you to vote for me. And you know what? After all the clutter of all the political ads, that'd be a refreshing message. I'd love to hear either of the Democrats, you know, the top of the ticket, any of the Dems. Got a couple of the congressional Dems coming later in the week, including Brad Papp and Mike Van Subberen. But Tony Evers, right here, man, 844-967-2789. Please vote for me. Go a long ways.
So the Obamacare is still in place, and we've doubled
my money.
I feel like my time here has been successful.
Yeah. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. Toll-free 844-967-2789.
And Dominic, I may arbitrarily give away some Echoes of Pompeii Pink Floyd tribute tickets. Although I'm liking the funky music Evan's playing, man. I didn't hear any Floyd today. Kind of forgot I had those tickets. So anyways, remind me, guys. We got a couple more days to give them away. The show is this November 5th, Saturday night at the Barrymore. I'll be there. You could be there. Just, you know, meet my criterion, which I won't tell you until you've won. 844-967-2789. Real quick, Bill Leaders found this one at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Vote! Your neighbors are watching! A GOP flyer warns. A creepy what? Republican ploy to guilt trip residents of a long-term care facility into voting. Didn't they take great umbrage with that earlier? The Republican Party of Wisconsin is distributing a mailer warning recipients that whether or not they voted is a matter of public record, and their neighbors will know if they don't. You know, shaming ya. Urgent, declares the mailer, sent to a resident in an independent living facility in Madison last week, and presumably to many others. Don't let your neighbors know you didn't vote. Return your absentee ballot today. On the flip side, the mailer blares, all caps, whether you voted is public information, it continues. Be a good neighbor and return your absentee ballot today. Your neighbors are counting on you. Now, both sides of the mailer ominously depict an aerial view of houses marked with the labels voted or didn't vote. And the mailer does not instruct voters how they should vote, but it is labeled as coming from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and it does frame the issues in a telling way. If you don't vote November 2022 general election, you're telling your neighbors you're happy with. And then the status quo is represented by three checkboxes: higher cost of living, Biden inflation, and rising crime rate. Yeah. You get the point, Dom.
It's the worldwide Bidenflation. So coming from the Republican Party, not telling you who to vote for, but as soon as you hear Bidenflation, you know who they're insinuating.
Our buddy Batman is quoted here by Bill Leaders. Batman said, it's a creepy mailer trying to guilt trip residents of a long-term care facility into voting by telling them that their neighbors will know if they don't vote, when in actual fact, I've never heard of anyone ever checking up on whether their neighbor voted
or not. He sees you when you're sleeping.
One other note here. Calvin Barrett. I met the Dane County Sheriff the other day at the Obama rally. He's a big strapping lad like myself, Dom. He'll be on the ballot this November 8th as well here in Dane County. Not even sure if he's got an opponent, but I look forward to meeting him on the radio soon. 844-967-2789. Lynette from Minnesota. Welcome, Lynette. What do you got for us?
Hi, Lynette.
Yeah, hi. I was listening to the Matt McNeil show, the show that precedes your show, and Matt was talking about people that patriotically support fascism, and guess who called in?
Well, it was CJ.
Yeah.
I heard CJ got slapped around pretty bad by our friend Matt McNeil.
He did. Matt just said, I'm not even listening. He just didn't even let him talk. And I thought, well, you guys really let him talk. So he didn't get to talk at all with Matt today. So,
well, anyway, that's a shame for CJ. If he calls in here, Lynette, he's not going to get a chance here either. I just saw him call in. Sorry, CJ, you blew it on Matt's show. Lynette, thanks for bringing that to our attention. So we didn't, you know, make the mistake of allowing him through on these vaunted airwaves. Damn, lots of others, though. They're welcome at 844-967-2789. Jim from Madison, you're welcome. What do you got for us, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys are talking about messaging. I go out to Richland Center quite frequently, especially in the fall, and it's amazing because I like listening to all the stations.
Yes, sir.
And the amount of, you know, election deniers that are on the radio talk shows there, you know, you got everything from the religious groups to the right-wing groups, and it's just unbelievable. They got these facts they send out, but, you know, I'm just wondering if anybody checks them. Nobody ever calls up these people and says, hey, you know, the election was the most safe and controlled last time than ever, so why are you bringing up all this stuff? Nobody ever says anything. But the interesting part is, I heard actually Pizza Box, Beyond the Pizza Box, that Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember.
Both, that was weird. Both days was at like, noon.
That's in Richland Center?
Yeah, we're dropping it all over the dial, Jim. We are playing out at WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM. So there is a little pushback in Richland County. Some would say the greatest radio show ever plays there. That's this one. And I think maybe Pizza Box is playing there on Saturdays, though. They do have a midday polka product. I might be wrong. 844-9, you know, either Pizza Box or polka, one or the other.
Polka Riot, baby.
844. No, I don't think it's the Polka Underground. 844. Nine Underground Criminals, right? That's Keith's band.
November Criminals, yes.
844. Oh, they're in their month, Dom. 844-967-2789. Bill from Madison. Welcome, Bill. What do you got for us?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, going back to old Mr. Johnson, I think Dom is right. You have to take the high ground and, you know, say the facts and the truth. You know, if the article was about his trust not paying any income tax, go ahead. It's terrible. That shows he's evading taxes. But if his paycheck from the state.
Bill, I'm so sorry, man. Your phone line is not listenable to us, but I thought I heard you say that's great that Dom referenced the truth. I'm just not clear that that is spelled out in the prior article. It was really referencing a family trust, and his personal wage as a senator was not addressed, as near as I could tell in the prior article. But I'm saying, as a self-employed guy with a family trust, I think he could even bury $184,000 in personal income from the U.S. Senate. That's just one man's opinion. I don't think either one of us know the real answer. Not at this moment. Mark from the SAC, man, you get last word today, buddy. What is it?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, he could probably dump that his salary there in the family trust. He's probably got, you know,
well, he spent $9 million getting a seat that pays him $184,000 a year. You know, so I think it's really more about the power investment, if you know what I'm saying, Mark.
Yeah, well, it's ridiculous, and the whole point is, unless you unqualifiedly condemn the Insurrection Act and Ron Johnson and Van Orden's actions on January 6th, they should be unqualified to office. The Republicans have no reticence about if there's a Republican that a Democrat did something like this, a Republican attorney general would have no reticence about indicting them.
They were ready to impeach Obama for wearing a tan suit.
The damn tan suit.
I want to thank our fine guests today. They included Todd Alba from the Civic Media Network. And, of course, Charles Franklin, poster extraordinaire. We got Brad Paff, congressman, in waiting from the third CD tomorrow at 4:20. Please keep it locked right here. Joe Biden next in Madison. All others get Native Roots Radio.
Republicans will never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor.